Can anyone say Donald J. Churchill? Good morning, Boston. My friends, what a speech. Oh, ho, ho. One hell of a speech delivered by former President Donald J. Trump. It was Churchillian. As I was listening to the speech, it had clearly echoes of Reagan, no question about it. It was Reagan-esque in certain aspects, but even more than Reagan-esque, it was Churchillian. It was Winston Churchill. He was channeling Churchill, obviously in an American context, in a very different time, facing a different threat. But in many ways, just as we are now living in Biden's dark winter, where things seem quite hopeless, President Trump really galvanized his supporters, galvanized the opposition, galvanized the resistance to say, our day will come. We must not surrender. We will never surrender. And in a speech for the ages, this was one of his best, if not his best speech ever delivered. Trump delivered a very powerful message. It was a defiant Trump. It was a forceful Trump. It was a bold Trump. And the speech got stronger and stronger as it went on. And at about the two-thirds, I'd say halfway, maybe two-thirds, he just kicked it up into a higher gear. It was very good, and it was just building and building almost to a crescendo. And then as the crowd kept chanting, we love you, we love you, it's almost as if he fed off the energy of the crowd. And it just went to an absolutely different level. And by the time it was done, Trump hinted very clearly he is seriously thinking about running again in 2024. He now states clearly and unequivocally there will be no new third party. He is going to stay in the Republican Party. As he puts it, it is our party. It is effectively a Trump party. All we now need to do is finish off the remaining rhinos, and then the party will be completely unified, consolidated, and onward to victory. He predicted a huge resurgence for the Republicans in 2022. He vowed to take back the House, win the Senate, and then ultimately recapture the White House in 2024. Listen now to President Trump, because it was one of his earliest lines, and it really set the tone for the whole speech. Roll cut 45, Christian.
Well, thank you very much, and hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
Oh, my God, do we miss you. I missed you on day one of the Biden presidency. You had me at hello. Never mind now. Now, what he got throughout his speech was something I've never seen any presidential candidate, any president, any former president. The immense love, the immense affection for this man. Even Reagan, and you know how much I love Reagan. I don't think I've ever heard Reagan deliver a speech where the crowd just kept erupting and breaking out in chants of we love you, we love Trump, or we love you. Listen to what the crowd, this is just a taste. They did this again and again and again. Roll cut 44, Christian.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So nice.
It was a speech by a bare knuckle brawler. He did not hold back on anything. He scorched Biden. He really took him to task. I mean, ripped the political bark off, ripped his political hide off on opening up our borders, to people coming in now by the hundreds of thousands. They're not even getting coronavirus tests and then releasing them into the interior of the country, saying this was absolutely reckless, a huge national security risk, a massive self-inflicted wound. He talked about the damage to our economy, already so many jobs lost. Again, self-inflicted. He talked about the disastrous Iran deal that Biden now is so eager to get back into. All of his failures regarding China. All of his failures taking us back to the disastrous Paris Climate Agreement. It was one denunciation, an attack on Biden after another. It was devastating. Absolutely devastating. But even more than exposing Biden's radical agenda and the sheer incompetence of this regime, he laid out a vision for the America First movement. And in a nutshell, he said that his movement is now dominating the Republican Party. It is a movement that believes in lower taxes, in deregulation, and unleashing the animal spirits of the free market economy, and better trade deals for the United States, law and order, no more rioting in our cities, no more defunding or abolishing the police, having strong borders, and stopping this assault on ICE, and in particular, this almost madness that has now afflicted the Democratic Party as it seeks to destroy all of our borders and bring in millions and millions of people unvetted into the United States, including now from terrorist hotspots. In other words, as he put it, we are going to put America and American citizens first. Biden and the Democrats want to put America and American citizens last. So whether it be foreign policy, whether it be trade, whether it be on the border, whether it be via the economy, whether it be rebuilding our working and middle class, he now says, I am a populist, I am a nationalist, I am a constitutionalist, I am here and our movement is here to put America and Americans first. And so he says that the most effective way to achieve this is not to create a new party, but now to completely consolidate Trump's movements, the MAGA movement's grip on the Republican Party. As he put it, it is now our party. Why should we give it away? Roll cut 35, Christian.
We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party.
And the reason why he says we will not start a third party, roll cut 36, Christian.
We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. Fake news, no. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win. No, we're not interested in that.
And then he singled out the rhinos and he named them Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney. He went right down the list. Every single Judas Republican, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, as he called them, Little Ben Sass, every single senator and House Republican who voted to either convict or impeach the president. And here was his message to them. Roll cut 36A, Christian.
Instead of attacking me and, more importantly, the voters of our movement, top establishment Republicans in Washington should be spending their energy in opposing Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, and the Democrats. I've said to some of them, I said, you know, during the Obama years and now during Biden, if you spent the same energy on attacking them, you'd actually be successful. As you do on attacking me in many cases.
He's completely right. If they spent, not even that, if they spent half the energy attacking the Democrats and Biden and Pelosi and Schumer, half that they spent attacking him and the America First movement, the Republicans would be in control of every branch of government. Now, clearly, throughout the entire speech, he kept hinting again and again and again that he is thinking of running again and that he will be the nominee and that he will win the election in 2024. So let me ask you, it's the Cooner Country poll question of the day, sponsored by Kelly Financial Services. Should former President Trump run in 2024? Do you think he is the savior of the Republican Party, the savior of our movement, and the savior of the country? Will he run? Should he run? And will he win? Your calls next. Here on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, my friends, one of the things I loved about the speech, he did not back down from election fraud and voter corruption. In fact, he addressed it head on again and again and again, where he said Biden and the Democrats stole the election. They rigged the election. We won in 2020. And then hinting again at 2024. And to me, this was my favorite line of the entire speech. I couldn't stop laughing and pumping my fists after he said it. Roll cut 38, Christian.
Actually, as you know, they just lost the White House, but it's one of those things. But who knows? Who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Go, baby, go. So let me ask you, number one, did you watch CPAC? Just overall, what was your impression of the CPAC conference? I'm just curious. In particular, did you watch and listen to Trump's speech? What did you make of the speech? It was clearly the keynote, the highlight, not even close. They did a straw poll. He won by a stunningly huge margin. The base wants Trump to run again in 2024. The polls show that if he did run as the Republican nominee, he would wipe out any Republican opponent. If he wants the nomination, as things stand right now, it is his. It's basically almost on a silver platter. It's his if he wants it. So, the Cooner Country poll question of the day, sponsored by Kelly Financial Services. Should former President Trump run in 2024? Is he the man to lead the country out of the wilderness? Is he the man to bring the America First movement and the Republican Party back into power? You can vote yes or no. Do you want him to run in 2024? Yes or no? You can vote on my Twitter page at the Cooner Report, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R. We are back on Parler. We're going to build up Parler as much as we can, obviously, because we're not big fans of Twitter. So on Parler, at the Cooner Report, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R. And of course, as always, you can vote online, WRKO.com/Cooner, WRKO.com/Cooner, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R. What did you make of Trump's speech? He's hinting at it. He hinted at it the whole speech. He's itching to run again in 2024. Should he do it? And will you support him? 617-266-6868. Couple lines are open if you want to jump on. Let's go to Stephanie in Norwood. You're going to start us off, Stephanie. Thanks for holding and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Hi.
So, as I listen to you, believe me, I want Trump more than anybody in 2024. But I have a question for you today. You tell me how Trump will win again in 2024 on the same broken system if it is not fixed. I'm very confused.
Well, Stephanie,
why won't they cheat again? They're going to do the same thing. They got away with it.
Oh, no, I hear you. There's no question about it. Now, the president has been asked this as well many times. Well, they stole it from you in 2020. What makes you think they won't steal it from you again in 2024? And that's why, if you noticed in his speech yesterday, Stephanie, he really highlighted election integrity. He said, we can have the best movement, the best policies, the best people, the best campaigns. It all means nothing if we don't have honest elections. And so he threw down the gauntlet and he was pointing at all of these major Republicans in the room, these grand poobahs, pointing at every single one of them, saying you need to make sure that we have honest elections. If not, you will never come back to power again. And so what's happening now, Stephanie, is in Georgia, they are going to clean up the mess in that state. They're going to start getting rid of mail-in balloting. They're going to clean up the voter rolls. They're going to go after Dominion voting systems. They're doing the same thing in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona. So the states are going to have to take the lead on this. And so far, at least at the state level, the Republicans are responding. So I am very, very hopeful. That's why they have to push H.R. 1. Trump talked about it in his speech yesterday. That's why Pelosi wants H.R. 1 desperately. They want to federalize basically universal unsolicited mail-in balloting. In other words, how they cheated the last time. They want to spread it across the country nationally because they know at the state level, the Republicans now have woken up. They now realize, this is how you've been stealing it. So as they're cleaning it up at the state level, the Democrats are desperate to pass this bill at the national level. And that's why Trump, in particular to Mitch McConnell, said, no matter what, H.R. 1 must never be allowed to pass. So, Stephanie, the short answer is the Republicans are cleaning up the elections in individual states, the key battleground states. If they do, we will win. If they don't, we will lose. It's that simple.
Okay, thank you for taking my call, Jeff. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Stephanie. So, you know, look, I'm hopeful, I'm positive, I'm optimistic, not because I believe in the Republican elites, because I don't, not because I believe in the Republican establishment, because I don't, but at the local level, at the state level, and this was Trump's point yesterday, it's his party. At the state level, across the country, it's his party. Even many of the new senators that got elected in Congress, they're all Trump conservatives. The new House members, they're all Trump conservatives. So slowly but surely, the rhinos are being purged and kicked out of the party. And the one thing that distinguishes Trump, of many things, but the big thing that distinguishes Trump conservatives from the rhinos, they fight. They fight. They're willing now to fight the Democrats as hard as they fight us. And that's why they fear him. And that's why they fear the MAGA movement. So at the state level, in fact, if just on Newsmax, I watched the speech on Newsmax. I don't watch Fox. So as I was watching the speech beforehand, they had a prominent Georgia U.S. representative. And he's saying, no, in Georgia right now, the Republicans in the state house and the state Senate, they got the message loud and clear from the voters. Clean up the election system, restore election integrity, restore honest elections. So this is going to be a shock, but it's coming. It's coming in Georgia. It's coming in other states. We have to keep pushing for it. If we do, it's game, set, and match. We've only had 1 month of this Biden regime, and it's been a disaster. by 2022, the country is going to be screaming to get rid of him and Kamala. Agree? Disagree? Should Trump run in 20?
Actually, as you know, they just lost the White House, but it's one of those things. Decide to beat them for a third time.
He's back. Jeff Kooner, Boston's bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, President Trump delivers a speech. Really, when the history books are written, they are going to say this was a watershed speech. It was very eerily similar to Reagan's speech when he was defending Goldwater in 1964, saying we have a rendezvous with destiny. And even though conservatives lost the election in 1964, they eventually roared back to power. It was very similar to that. It was Reagan-esque. There was a lot of optimism in the speech where he believed the future is ours because our agenda is so popular. Our policies are so effective, as he said, rooted in common sense. And he expressed a lot of positive energy throughout the entire speech, in particular, telling Republicans 2022 will be ours, both the House and the Senate. That will set the stage for 2024. And throughout the entire speech, periodically, he kept hinting again and again that he is itching to run, he wants to run, and he may well just run one more time to defeat the Democrats, who, as he put it, stole the election from him and the American people. 617-266-6868. I want to ask you this. Should the president run again in 2024? Will you support him? Will you back him? Or do you think he should anoint an heir? Someone who will carry forward the America First MAGA principles with obviously his full backing, but let's say will not have the Trump baggage or the hatred, the personal hatred that many people have for Donald Trump. Maybe a Governor DeSantis or Kristi Noem from South Dakota, both of whom delivered phenomenal speeches at CPAC. Very popular, very successful governors. Should someone else be the Republican nominee in 2024? Finally, he made the announcement he will not go third party or create a new party. He is going to stay in the Republican Party. He says this will divide the vote. The last thing we need now is to divide our vote and our forces. He says it's our party to begin with. Let's just completely take it over. Should the president, did he give up some leverage by saying, I'm not going to go third party? Because that was a threat he kept holding over and over again, the Republican establishment. You try to stop me or block us, we will nuke the Republican Party and create a new party. So there's a lot on the table. Did you see the speech? Did you watch the speech? What did you think of the speech? Tom in New Jersey, red, white, and blue dynamite baby. How are you, Tom?
Jeff Kooner, the only talk show host that has the spine to call Joe Biden an illegitimate president. That's red, white, and blue dynamite baby.
Tom, buddy, I want to ask you, you saw the speech. What did you make of his speech?
Jeff, I mean, it's blockbuster, it's top shelf, but I echo your first caller, Jeff. I could hear the disappointment in her voice. Jeff, in a sense, okay, fine, if the states are able to clean up the voting system, but the mail-in voting, the Dominion voting corruption, election fraud, voter fraud, largely election fraud, in a sense, we're trusting the very Judases that stole our country already. Jeff, this is like our country has been taken over without the tanks and the infantry and the bombs going off. in a sense, our country has been stolen from us. And I'm thinking, okay, if he holds on the side the option of going third party, but people like Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, these Judases, I mean, Mitch McConnell was showing seething hatred of Donald Trump. These are Judases on steroids. And until the voting system, we could have run Abraham Lincoln, George Washington combined. He didn't really lay out how we're going to fix this. This is institutionalized corruption. Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, we are like the locusts in Africa with traitors. And I'm just thinking we're going to need something stronger. And it starts with men like you on the air, Jeff, because I have to repeat, Sean Hannity is weak. Mark Levin has been told he can't use stolen and fraud. He's gotten weak. And you know what, Jeff? I have to compliment your talk show. I tried for years to get on Sean Hannity's program. What he does, he interviews the callers. I got a call from them. I was interviewed to get on the show. You talk about editing and censorship. I told the call screener, I know I'm not getting on your show because I'm getting too close to the truth. Sean kept talking about, oh, the FBI, the rank and file are not corrupt. Well, why didn't any of them be whistleblowers? No, the FBI is an institution that is corrupt, basically from top to bottom, because the ones on the ground, the boots on the ground, didn't really do anything. So, Jeff, your show is truly attacking truth to power, and you're the heir apparent to Rush Limbaugh. God rest his soul, Jeff.
And Tom, those are very nice words. And Tom, I want to thank you for your courage in speaking out. I really appreciate it. God bless you, my friend. Look, that's the one thing I pride myself about this show, really almost above all. There's no censorship, except, you know, swearing. I mean, obviously, I don't want to get fined. And I keep urging the listeners, please, you can say things in a way you don't have to swear. Please, I need a multi-million dollar fine, like I need a hole in the head. But, you know, outside of curse words and, you know, obscenities, you say whatever you want to say. That's the point of this show. It's a free speech zone. Let the people speak. Let the truth be heard. And so, Tom, really, thank you once again. Look, maybe I'm a little bit naive. You know, I mean, my wife has accused me of that on multiple occasions. But look, what I'm seeing, at least from now, early signs on the ground in these battleground states, to me, fills me with a lot of optimism. The Republicans, look, because it's not just for Trump, it's for them. If they don't clean up the election systems in their states, they're going to get wiped out. Because stealing elections is now the new Democratic way of doing business. It's the new model. So if Republicans want to be viable in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Nevada, they have to clean up those voting systems. Dead people have to stop voting. Illegals have to stop voting. This idea of massive, universal, unsolicited mail-in balloting, it's insane. That's got to stop completely. And I thought, you know, Trump maybe could have been a bit more specific. I agree with you, Tom. But, you know, he talked about many things. He talked about voter ID. He talked about having people vote on the same day. None of this, you know, voting for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, this, you know, endless early election, early voting. So he laid out a series of reforms that Republicans need to push, advocate, and pass. Now, if they have the guts and the spine to do it, the country is ours. There's no doubt about it. That's why they have to censor us. That's why they have to ban us. That's why they have to suppress us. Look, I want to ask every person out there, the Democrats now, and I'm going to get into this, are now pushing a bill, and it's got the full backing of the media, the liberal media, the full backing of big tech, and the full backing of most Democratic grassroots activists. It would make Fox, One America News, and Newsmax no longer able to be carried by cable providers. On satellite TV, DirecTV, I have DirecTV, they wouldn't carry it. Any cable network wouldn't, any cable provider wouldn't carry it. Streaming wouldn't carry it. They're openly calling now for the censorship of media outlets that they disagree with. Now, when has banning books and censoring the media and censoring ideas, when has that ever been a good thing? When have the good guys ever advocated book banning and censorship? Name me one time in world history that's ever happened. You can't. You can't. That shows you how much they fear us. Because what Trump laid out yesterday on issue after issue after issue, that's where, I'm not even talking a 51% majority. That's where 65, 70, 75% of the country is. It is an unstoppable movement, and he will turn the Republican Party into a juggernaut if they have the courage of their convictions. That's why I say this was a Churchillian speech. It was him saying, never, never, never surrender. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, I want to ask all of you, did you see the speech? Did you hear the speech? Should Trump run in 2024? Your calls next. .648 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer, cleaning up the liberal bull. Okay, Trump delivers. It was a speech for the ages. Almost a mixture of Churchill, sort of Churchillian defiance, and Reaganite optimism. It was Reagan-esque in many ways. He believes the future belongs to the Republicans. I'm going to get to this a little bit later in the show. Not because of the toughness of Republicans. That's the one part where he was very critical on the Republican Party, but on the disaster of the Biden administration and how radical and inept and incompetent and dangerous their policies are. And so he told the Republican Party, he told the movement, he told the world that we are the majority if we only have the will to seize it. Listen now to former President Trump talk about the rhinos, the last vestige of the Republican corrupt establishment that he says stands in the way of the America First movement. They must go. Roll cut 36B, Christian.
The Democrats don't have grandstanders like Mitt Romney, Little Ben Sasse, Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Pat Toomey. And in the House, Tom Rice, South Carolina, Adam Kinzinger, Dan Newhouse, Anthony Gonzalez, that's another beauty. Fred Upton, Jamie Herrera Butler, Peter Meyer, John Katko, David Valadao, and of course the warmonger, a person that loves seeing our troops fighting, Liz Cheney. How about that?
In other words, all seven Judas Republicans that voted to convict him in the Senate, and all 10 Judas Republicans that voted to impeach him in the House. He's like, if you don't know their names, let me just say them to you one more time. Wink, wink, so you can primary the hell out of them. And just in case no one got the memo, listen to him stick it to Liz Cheney one more time in the speech. Roll cut 36C, Christian.
And of course, the warmonger, a person that loves seeing our troops fighting, Liz Cheney. How about that? The good news is, in her state, she's been censured, and in her state, her poll numbers have dropped faster than any human being I've ever seen. So hopefully they'll get rid of her with the next election. Get rid of them all.
Oh, amen. Clean house, baby. Clean house. Okay, I want to ask you, it's the Cooner Country poll question of the day, sponsored by Kelly Financial Services. Should former President Trump run in 2024? He kept hinting at it, that he will run throughout the entire speech. The crowd wants him to run. Most Republicans want him to run. Yes or no? You can vote on my on our webpage, the WRKO.com/Cooner, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R, WRKO.com/Cooner, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R. Jeff, he needs to run, but he should pick either Florida Governor Ron DeSantis or South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem as his VP/heir apparent. Let me ask you this, because a lot of Trump supporters have made this point, that Trump in 2024 should not be king, but kingmaker. Why? That he's more effective now as a kingmaker. He'll be 78. I mean, he's not going to be a Biden 78. He'll be a vigorous 78, not an old 78, a senile 78, but still, 78 is 78. And that maybe he should anoint an heir apparent, a Ron DeSantis, who, by the way, is doing a phenomenal job in Florida, or a Kristi Noem in South Dakota, same thing. Great job. She delivered a great speech at CPAC, and basically throw his weight and his support behind one of these two. He plays a key role behind the scenes, but it also blocks the Democrats, because there are people in this country, a strong segment, that will vote against Trump, not his policies, but Trump, because they simply loathe and hate him. Because he's become that toxic to many on the left or many liberals. And that maybe a stronger play would be to anoint a successor that believes in his principles, in his movement, in his vision, but wouldn't carry some of the baggage of Trump. What do you say to that argument? I'm just curious. 617-266-6868 is the number. You can text us to 70470. Just write WRKO in front of your message, because we share that text line with other stations. Lines are loaded. Anthony in Michigan. Thanks for holding, Anthony, and welcome.
Dr. Cooner, he left out a couple people. He left out Miniskirt Mitt, a.k.a. Nikki Haley. And he left out Manchurian Mitch McConnell, although he did go after Mitch McConnell in a very subtle way. That was delicious.
What he said, how Mitch begged him for his support, and he was losing the election, and then he won by 20 points, and then he just kind of looked around the room like, you see what I'm surrounded with?
Yeah. And the people were, when he mentioned Mitch, started booing. That was beautiful. After the speech, Jeff, I get two or three texts from Trump, and I'm like, what's going on my phone? You know, years ago, I signed up for this, his 80-whatever number. Then I go on the conservative treehouse. He started up a pack. He's going to be the kingmaker with his money, not going through the RNC for these House and Senate races. That is an interesting play. I've got a couple other items. Last week was a tough week for us, Jeff. And I very much, like you, made us aware of H.R. 5 and the reparations taxes. Had a Zoom with my CPA and in regards to tax planning for 2020, and they let it be known that they're talking about getting rid of the step-up in basis. Do you know what that is?
I mean, I'm aware of it, but for the audience, quickly tell them, what is it, Anthony?
You inherit a home or a business. The day that person dies, you get the intrinsic value of it that day. No, no, no. They want to go back to when they started the business or when grandma bought the home, and then you have to figure out how much they spent to upgrade it, et cetera. And if you don't have a number, it'll go to zero, and you'll pay the tax on the full amount. So there's a lot of, and you know, I trust my CPA dearly. So I just wanted to make Cooner Country aware of that. But we will saunter on, Jeff. This was a good speech. He's rallying the troops, and I think he's definitely headed for 2022 as clearing the deck. By the way, I don't think Cooner Country is going to agree with me. I truly thought 46 was going to be Jared Kushner. He was being groomed for the job, Jeff, and I saw it for the longest time. And he was the guy behind a lot of the major efforts, whether it was getting people out of prison, making sure the wall got built, and also, I believe, him and his techno-wonks were the guys behind, you know, getting the drugs to market as fast as they could. He picks people's brains to figure out how to get stuff done, and that was a shame via this last election cycle. So who would potentially be a person to carry Trump's torch? Definitely DeSantis and Noam. I think that's a winner right there.
Interesting. Anthony, as always, thank you very much for that call. I think DeSantis and Noam would be frankly unbeatable in 2024. Again, all on the premise that you clean up these, you know, these corrupt state election laws that were rammed through illegally, as Trump mentioned, illegally and unconstitutionally in all of these battleground states. So assume that they pass honest election laws. Let's just assume that. You have a free and fair election. DeSantis and Noam are, I mean, they're invincible. And to show you how bad things are, this is how bad things are getting. Listen now to Biden. This was Biden on Friday. This is an embarrassment. That's why he can't hold a press conference. That's why they don't know if he's even going to do a State of the Union address. And by the way, did you notice that Trump's speech in many ways was like a State of the Union address from a real president who's got all of his marbles? It is so bad now with Biden. They finally had to fly him down to Texas. Okay, with the deep freeze and the disaster that's taken place in Texas. Now, he's a week late. Okay, he's a week late for Texas. He should have been there the week before, but let that go. He finally arrives in Houston. He gives a speech. The teleprompter is in front of him. The piece of paper is right in front of him. Watch. Just watch, or listen in this case. Roll cut 15, Christian.
Lizzie Pinelli, excuse me, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And Mayor Turner.
Psst. He calls her Shirley Jackson Lee. Pinnell, Pinelli, what am I doing here? I'm losing track. What am I doing here? He didn't know where he was. He couldn't follow his train of thought. He couldn't read what they put right in front of him. He's unraveling right in front of us.